وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر: أومن كان ميتا فأحييناه وجعلنا له نورا. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. The first ayah that I've recited, I'm sure we've been hearing it for way before Ramadan, in as far as getting people ready for Ramadan, and throughout the month of Ramadan we continue hearing this given ayah where Allah says, I have prescribed fasting for you, just as I have prescribed fasting for people of previous generations, previous faiths, etc. And the idea of fasting is one thing. Allah is saying, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so you may be able to acquire consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to now ask ourselves, in the last Friday of this given month, did the month of Ramadan add to my consciousness? Did it add to my awareness? Did it add to my dhikr? Did it add to my Quran? Did it add to my salah? Did it add towards my tahajjud? Did it reform who I am as a human, as an individual? Did it reform my family? The values that I claim to have, and the values that are in the Quran that I have accepted as a believer, is there a correlation between the both? That's exactly what Allah is asking us to reflect upon. As Allah says, that by doing these things, we are now, of course, creating a life between ourselves, and also at the same time distinguishing between ourselves and the dead. As the Quran says, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا. As far as is the one who is dead and the one that we have given life, as it says in other places in the Quran, are they the same? And likewise, the one that we have given life, the life of Iman, the life of faith, the understanding of the beauty of this given month, when they walk, وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا, and the Quran talks about yamshi. Yamshi has to do with walking. They are the individuals that when they walk, they assist people from getting away from darkness, and they themselves hold on to a special light, the light of the Quran, the light of the Sunnah, the light of what Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wishes. It's not a physical walk. You know, in America they say you got to walk the walk, and something about talking the talk and all those things. What they're saying is, if you really claim to be who you are and what you are, then are you doing the things that you are called upon to do with the claim that you have made regarding that which you are? So Allah is asking us the same thing, that people of faith have a certain lifestyle, and that lifestyle has to show by the given actions. وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. That there is a difference also between those that are knowledgeable and those that are ignorant. Those that are knowledgeable, their choices in life are very different. Knowledgeable here means not necessarily educated in as far as the world is concerned, not necessarily understanding of where this place is on the map versus that place and the distance between this place and that place. That is data. That is data. Islam is not about data. Islam is about knowledge. Knowledge that is linked to wisdom, knowledge and wisdom together, that links a person to Allah. As I always say, you know, people always say, you know, my experience, mashallah, and Yahya alayhi salam was 3 years old. Can you say he didn't have wisdom? Wisdom is not based on age. Wisdom is based on what Allah gives you from His treasures. It's not based on race. Luqman alayhi salam, you know, when the world was at a time looking at people of the African descent as backward, as people without much understanding, Allah changed the whole construct. Luqman alayhi salam is actually mentioned in the Quran. He's mentioned for the beautiful advice he gives. Yahya alayhi salam, when, as the story goes, he was about 3 or 5, they say. Friends come and say, let's go and play outside, let's go and have fun. What did he say? Allah has not created me for fun and play and game. Allah has created me to take part in worship. So, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. Tragically, many individuals out there, they are functioning how? إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. They are just working on guesstimation and estimation. And this is something now towards the end of Ramadan, we have to change who we are and deal with the facts of our religion to improve who we are as people. Some of you may be wondering where I'm getting the speech from. Of course, it's from the Haram Imam, Sheikh Shuraim. So if you ever, Shaitan and his whispers, Shaitan is locked, but the nafs will always give you whispers. And I purposely chose a speech to give directly regarding Ramadan from Sheikh Shuraim. So this way, you will not think that I'm sort of saying things from my side. And inshallah, from the side of the Haram, inshallah, none of you will have evil thoughts. So it's a speech that is also online, and I would like you to also reflect upon it as well. Now he quotes under this given ayah that I mentioned regarding a time period in which knowledge will come to an end. Now, if you speak to any young boy over here, what they will say is, knowledge has just started. What are you talking about, knowledge coming to an end? When I want an answer, I go online and within 3 seconds or less, the answer is given. And here, the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, how will knowledge disappear when we have the Quran amongst us and we teach this Quran to our children, and while they will also teach it to others? That means we are learning it, we are teaching it to our children, grandchildren, it'll continue. Ya Rasulullah, how? Because look at what they are saying. They are saying, our knowledge, Ya Rasulullah, is not linked to dhanni. Remember the previous ayah? Illa amaniya wa inhum illa yadhunnun. That many people are just using their dhann. And now the Sahabi is saying, we're not just using our dhann. We are using the Quran. We are using you as the Sunnah of Rasul, and you are the Prophet of Allah. So you are in our midst. And he says here, we read the Quran. We teach the Quran to our children. And they teach it to their children. Ya Rasulullah, this is our life. How can we become such that eventually knowledge will be lost? And look at the beautiful response Rasulullah said. He says, the Prophet of Allah said, I thought you were one of the most knowledgeable people of Medina. He said, the Sahabi, none of you go use this to somebody else. But if you tell someone, but I thought you were smart, they won't take it as a joke. You're making fun of me. So you got to be very careful. But Rasulullah is teaching us that here is a man that is knowledgeable in Medina, a top position, a Sahabi, knowing the Quran, knowing the Hadith. Rasulullah says to him, I thought you were one of the most knowledgeable people of Medina. Thereafter he says, are there not Jews and Christians who have their scriptures with them, and yet they take no benefit from what is inside those scriptures? Isn't the Quran talking to you and I, or at least definitely me? So we have the knowledge, we have the data, we have all these things. And Rasulullah is saying, others also have the same things out there. However, it's not about just having it. It's about what benefit, as the hadith says, we are deriving from it. And the benefit that we derive from it. and the change that it creates in our hearts and those around us. This is the purpose of the Quran. Thereafter, he quotes the next ayah, إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْأً وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. Indeed, there are certain hours of the night, and these hours of the night are very, very effective. You see the sequence? He mentioned the hadith. Now he's saying, do you want the solution? That's what he's saying. And the solution is, there are these nightly hours, and these hours are very, very effective, as he says here, for the heart and the tongue. And they are very suitable in the words that you will use. So my brother, what is he saying? That we have to get up around the time of the Hajjud, and we have to sort of start our communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I have made certain errors with my family or parents. Oh Allah, I may have made certain errors in business transactions. Oh Allah, I may have, whatever it may be. And oh Allah, I want to now connect with you, and I need your assistance. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرُجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. A beautiful ayah is quoted, because if you don't do that, he says, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرُجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. What is with you that you do not attribute Allah? While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you and I. What he says here, what is the matter with you that you do not attribute to Allah his grandeur while he has created you in stages? In other words, turn to Allah. In the nashi'at al-layl, in the previous ayah, turn to Allah in the wee hours of the night. Turn to Allah in the wee hours of the morning. Why? Because your idea is, la tarjuna lillahi waqara. Allah is saying, why are you not doing that? So if Allah is asking, why you are not doing that? Or why you are not turning towards that? Allah is indirectly saying what? This is something that we must start doing. And by doing that, Allah will inshallah bless us. Thereafter he says, and he quotes the hadith, there are three people whose supplications are never rejected. Number one, a just individual, a just ruler. Number two, and let's appreciate this number two, especially now in the last few days of Ramadan. He says the fasting person, when the fasting person breaks his fast or opens his fast. Very important. Number one, the just ruler. And each one of us are rulers in some capacity, some in the home. The hadith says everyone is a shepherd. So in your home, you are a type of ruler. In the community, you may be a type of, and it goes on and on. So you got to be just in your position. And number two, the fasting person when he breaks his fast. I cannot emphasize this enough, because it starts off with three people whose supplication is not going to be rejected. So to get our fast accepted is a challenge, but inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has and will accept it. And therefore, at that time of opening, we have to make a sincere dua. And number three, and this is something that sends a chill down my spinal cord, where he says, and I mentioned this hadith before, the oppressed individual. Be careful with the oppressed, whether they are young, whether they are old, whether they are friends, or whether they are foes. Once they are oppressed and we trespass the boundaries with them, then it can create tremendous amount of problems. Thereafter, he quotes the ayah of the Quran and he says, Allah will answer the supplication of anyone so long as that person is not hasty. And that person does not say, I called my Allah and my Allah did not answer. He quotes the ayah of the Quran and says, your du'as will be accepted so long as the one that is making supplication is not hasty. He doesn't say, I want it now. Why is my Allah not giving it to me now? And the person doesn't say thereafter, I called my Allah and my Allah did not answer. He says, once you do that, then you will create a lot of problems. So patience is very, very important while we are making your dua, and realizing that my Allah is answering. And my Allah will accept. Yes, we don't know when he will accept, that's in the hands of Allah. And he will answer in the sense that he is sharing to the angels, look at my servant, he's picking up his hand, picking up her hand, picking up their hands. Allah is acknowledging that aspect. And as far as the acceptance of that given, making it a reality, it comes in a hadith, that is something, a separate topic. But sufficient to say, the reward of that, inshallah, will benefit us not only in this world, but also in the hereafter. And the Shaykh thereafter continues by quoting the ayah. He says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, call upon me and I will respond to you. That's what I'm referring to when I said, Allah will respond. Indeed, those, however, as far as the response is concerned, for some it may be swift, and for others it may take a little bit of while. And then, as I mentioned before, the adhan is a beautiful dua that we should all read and teach our children. Abu Umama, why are you sitting in the masjid? This is what Rasulullah told him, and I will end up with this. Abu Umama, Rasulullah is saying, why are you sitting in the masjid at the time when it is no salah? It's not prayer time. Why are you sitting here? And he replied, I was forced to do so by sorrow and debt, owing money. So he went to the masjid. And there was a reason why he went to the masjid. He had a problem. And he's teaching us, when you have a problem, you go to the masjid. I know there is one brother here. Pretty much regularly, every so often, I won't mention the name because we don't want to target people here, but I admire him. He has certain financial problems. And I see him coming to the masjid and making dua and giving himself. Wallahi, when you look at this man, when you look at him, it is as if he has no problems because of being in the masjid and just giving himself to Allah. You'll never hear a complaint from him. How come? Because he's making amal on this given hadith, knowingly or unknowingly. Can you imagine if you made amal on this hadith in a knowing manner, what the change will be? So anyway, I will end up with this. Oh, Abu Umama, why are you sitting in the masjid at the time that is not a prayer time? He responded by saying, I was forced to do so by sorrow and debt. The Messenger of Allah, Rasulullah, then asked, shall I teach you a dua by which Allah will remove your sorrow and help ease your debts? He answered, oh yes, O Messenger of Allah. And thereafter, as I read the dua to you before the adhan, and I hope that you will research this dua and use it as well, where the Prophet ﷺ said the following. He says, say every morning and every evening, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazn wa a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasl wa a'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhl wa a'udhu bika min ghalabati ad-dayni wa qahli ar-rijal. Meaning, oh Allah, I seek refuge from anxiety and sorrow, weakness and laziness, miserliness and cowardice, that means being a coward, the burden of debts, the burden of owing money, and oh Allah, protect me from humans overpowering me. My brothers and sisters, I can pretty much assure you, take this advice from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and inshallah Allah will take us a very long way. Inshallah, may Allah accept our Ramadan, accept our fasting, and give us the beauty of these last few days. Tonight, inshallah, there will also be a Qiyam al-Layl, as there has been in this masjid. And I hope that you will give yourself an opportunity to come. Even if you don't be part of and not part of the Qiyam al-Layl, which is fine, at least come during that time. I know I saw one brother, mashallah, while they are doing their thing, he's reading Quran in the back. This is something we should do. So if you don't pray with the Jamaat, which you don't have to do, at least pray alone. That's my opinion generally. Try to perform your Qiyam al-Layl alone in your own groups or your own to yourself. And of course, if you cannot do that or you get tired,